Learn how you can save time and tuition dollars with Wilmington University's new Dual Credit Advantage. Go to wilmu.edu/dualcredit.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Yo, welcome to the Sixers Talk Podcast, fresh off a Game 3 victory. I don't even know what the final score was in overtime as the Sixers get the win. I just jumped here into the recording booth and I'm ready to go. Danny Pommels, Ben Berry, instant reaction to a fantastic game. It was intense. I felt nervous as heck down the stretch. I channeled it. I played it cool, Ben Berry, but yo, bro, it was a heck of a game, back and forth, but the Sixers pull it out with a huge victory, up 3-0 in their best of 7 in the first round.
It was a wild game. It was a crazy finish. A lot of fun to watch in the end. I know a lot of fans listening, they're just thinking Ben Berry jinxed it. Ben Berry's jinxed it. Talking that sweet talk. You know what? 3 games, 1 left to down. Get those brooms out.
Bro, we will be coming to you guys with a live Sixers Talk podcast on Saturday before Game 4. We'll be in Fairmount, right near the Art Museum at the Urban Saloon. Me and Ben, live podcast. You can catch us on YouTube or Twitter if you can't make it out. All the social media channels for NBC Sports Philadelphia, so you have that. But let's still talk about this game, Ben. A weird play to end regulation when Joel decided to go step back three and Tobias misses the bunny. I thought that was it. I thought that was as close as they would get. They had their chance, and it doesn't always turn out favorably for Philadelphia sports teams in these situations. But when you have Joel Embiid, you always have a chance. I mean, what a shot, bro. I mean, and it was all net, and his reaction afterward just made it that much better.
So, the game-winning shot, nothing but net. It was smooth, and it's just – Embiid is that unicorn. To be 7 feet tall, 280-plus, to make that little bit fading away from the basket, too, it was clutch. Only thing that would have made it better, if the buzzer would have hit, too. Just a buzzer beater, the Raptors wouldn't have got a shot at the end. And I would say Harden fouling out proves why the Sixers needed to make that trade, whether you think it should have been for Harden or Tyrese Halliburton or someone else.
Or C.J. McCollum or whoever.
C.J. McCollum. Tyrese Maxey is very good, very good. I think he showed his youth at times when the Sixers couldn't get anything at the paint. And I know every team is shooting more threes and shooting beyond the arc these days. But the Sixers couldn't get to the rim after Harden went out for the most part. Tobias Harris got that shot at the rim at the end of regulation, but having someone like Harden there to initiate the offense to get it to the rim or get to the foul line is clutch, and it really showed. The Sixers pulled one out their backside just to get out of game three with a win.
104-101 was the final. Bro, it looked like it was a throwback to like the Knicks and Pacers of the 80s with the way the score was going and the physicality. Well, maybe more 90s, not 80s, but the physicality was there. The calls were not going the Sixers' way. The turnovers were ridiculous. I think they had 15 in the first half. It had none of the resemblance of a win. The Sixers hadn't led the whole game, and then suddenly – here they are forcing the OT and pulling out the win. Bro, I am starting to feel like this is a team that over that break, man, with that week of practice, something happened there where the trust factor ratcheted up, you know, them believing in themselves, believing in each other. Something happened there in that intense week of practice that has turned a corner for this Sixers team. And it just goes to show that the lack of time together and able to work out some of these kinks and play with each other, well, maybe affected them, you know, down the stretch with when Harden got traded to the team. But they really figured some things out, because when I see them in these situations when they're down and have to face adversity and things like that, and even when Danny Green lost his cool and got the technical, Harden was there calming them down. And I think it was Embiid came over as well. But I feeling something a little different with this team than what we've seen toward the end of the regular season. And I'm not going to go as far as saying, oh, this is a team of destiny and, you know, all that stuff. And there was something that happened around the league, which I get to, which I think bodes well for the Sixers. But I just feel like that week of practice helped them turn in the corner. And I think, you know, in these moments when the adversity is high and they need to figure something out, no, every possession wasn't great. And yes, the Raptors helped out by, you know, blowing some free throws and some turnovers and things like that and bad shots. But the Sixers had their nose to the grindstone. They were focused on trying to get this win. And the series is basically over in my eyes. So as long as they can take care of business on, even if it's a sweep or not, in one of these next four games, bring on the Miami Heat.
I don't know what happened in those practices over the last week. Something happened, as you said, because they were closer now. I think that's the first time I ever seen someone about to get jumped on live television. I thought Embiid, Harden, Tyrese Maxey, you saw his face up close on Danny Green.
Bro,
on
he was Danny like Green. Pushing him. Yes.
I was like, yo, someone get security to break up the own team fight that is about to happen. But they're close, and it's clicking. Like when the Raptors got up, and they were up for practically the whole game.
17. They were up 17, was their largest lead.
And that's a big lead, especially when nothing seems to be going right. Turnovers. Raptors are hitting shots they have no business hitting. And the Sixers, they stayed the course. They clamped down, and they powered through to tie the game, get a lead, get the overtime, and pull out the win.
OG Anunoby leads them in scoring again for another game. And Joel Embiid with 33 on 12 of 20 shooting, 3 for 8 from 3-point land to go with 13 points. Man, what a great game. James Harden with 19 on 7 of 13 shooting. He continues to shoot well from three. Did you feel like this was a game that you were just – did you any point were like, okay, well, we'll get them in game four? Were you ready to pack it in? Did you feel like they were still had a chance to pull it out? Were you – at any point, did you feel like, all right, this one's almost over?
I never got to that point, and here's okay. Why. You know, I'm a prideful man. I'm proud of myself. I think I'm intelligent. Last yeah. thing I needed was to check my mentions or check the mentions on this podcast and see, Ben, you jinxed the Sixers. They would have swept, but you talk all that sweep after game two.
That motivated you.
Loser. You an idiot. It didn't motivate me. I hope it motivated the team. So I didn't have to come on this pod with egg on my face because they decided to go up there and stink it up in the first half. So I never felt that. Hopefully, I hope you didn't feel that. It's like, yo, Ben is about to look really bad right now.
No, I didn't feel that way.
So, you know.
You look bad on your own all the time. So
no, I look good, man. It's not easy, man. I'm sorry. You know, I got to shower, a little t-shirt on. But no, the Sixers, they stayed true. They kept working hard. If it would have got to like a 25, 30-point lead, I would have been like, ugh. Mm-hmm. They should probably just get ready for Saturday. It didn't get to that point. So I felt confident the whole way they can claw their way back into the game.
Down 10 at halftime, bro. My boy took the trip up to Toronto with his cousin. Was in the place for the game. He said it was rocking in there. He said they cheer for every basket like it's a touchdown. So the adversity was high. I mean, of course, it's not maybe a New York Knicks crowd with the F, you know, Joel Embiid or F Trae Young type of chants.
There was chants, something like that.
But they were definitely screaming something, and it wasn't MVP, but – woo, what a game, man. We're still trying to come down from it. And you know, I'll get to this other thing since I'm trying to, you know, transition to another topic. But Devin Booker, you know, we're looking for a little far in the future, but Devin Booker and his hamstring and the fact that, you know, other teams are experiencing some of these injury woes that the Sixers have had to deal with. You know, you've seen Joel Embiid in the game. He was flexing that wrist, and, it didn't make me feel good. I mean, I guess, you know, as a lot of people say, it's not a Sixers game without a Joel Embiid injury scare. But he hit the deck a few times. He was flexing that wrist, but he came back and made some baskets after that. So I knew the wrist was cool, and it's already taped up, so you know it's not feeling 100%. But I feel like the Sixers, if they can stay healthy, obviously, and continue to play like a cohesive unit, I'm not, you know, I'm projecting toward way past the second round at this point.
Way past the second round. So staying healthy is most important.
Of course. And
that's why I wanted this, get the series, get the Raptors up out of there so they can get to the Heat for us. Because it seems like the Heat are going
to be sweep. Done. You think they'll sweep too?
It looks like they're going to sweep as well. And didn't want to play a fresh Heat team if this series is going to 6-7 games, just wasted energy. So that series is going to be big. Devin Booker, definitely don't want to see anyone get injured. I hope he comes back from his hamstring. Hope it's not too big. The playoffs are exciting right now. I was too busy watching the Sixers game. I didn't get to see what happened in Boston tonight.
My text went off. Yeah.
And the notifications, and Brooklyn had a big lead. And apparently Kevin Durant did something he'd never done before. He just went ice cold from the field, and they got it. The Nets guy outscored 29-17 in the fourth quarter. Marcus Smart hit like the game-winning shot. Here was just a crazy end, and we'll try to watch that later tonight. NBA playoffs is here, man. It's a lot of fun.
Bro, I talked about it in the last podcast. It's something like, you know, when the NBA starts that first round and there's so many games and so many triple headers and – you know, games every night. They used to have this old commercial on TNT, I remember, with Vince Carter. And it was like 40 games and 40 nights, or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Just speaking to the fact that they got the games, and it's a lot of basketball going on. And, you know, I'm looking at the way this played out. You know, you got games 3 and 4 in Toronto. No Matisse Thybulle. The Sixers are shorthanded. Rotations aren't quite the same. Other guys need to step up. And the Raptors had the Sixers right where they wanted them, yet they didn't get the win. Yet Joel Embiid shows them why he's the best player on the floor. Yet they didn't let the fans get to them and prevailed in a hostile environment. So this is a type of character-defining win in the postseason, which makes you feel like you can do anything. I mean, Sixers fans are already, you know, having a little bit of consternation about, you know, how they would match up with the Raptors and, you know, what type of, you know, James Harden would be in the postseason and if Maxey would take the step forward. So Sixers have answered every question that could possibly be asked in these first three games.
Danny, the Raptors, that might be their best try of the series. OG had 26.
Right. They took their best shot.
Gary Trent Jr. had 24. They had 20 from someone off the bench. Fred Van Vliet. The only way that could have been better if he dropped 20 points. They had three players in 20 points, and they lost in overtime. That's the best shot. So I don't know. Good effort is not enough. Come back next year.
Bro, and they dealt with all the whining and complaining from Nick Nurse. What is he going to say now? I would love to be listening to the post-game sound right now. What is he going to say now after the Raptors got all those calls? They built this big lead up 10 at halftime, up 17 at one point, and the Sixers come all the way back, force overtime, and win on a nasty Joel Embiid three-pointer. What is he going to say now?
He knows they're outmatched. He knows the Sixers are the better team. All he's going to say is probably stop flopping. I don't know what else he's going to say. Like, any true basketball fan, we know flopping when we see that. I saw Kyle Lowry do it in the Heat game the other night. It was just despicable to watch. It's disgusting. Flopping happens, but there's nothing. Nick Nurse, he can coach to the best of his abilities. He doesn't have the firepower to beat the Sixers in that Raptors team, though.
And now, you know, with Doc Rivers continuing to win, we don't have to worry about the speculation of Jay Wright and people asking for him to coach the Sixers, right?
No, man, I guess you didn't check Twitter tonight. People tweeting about that than the actual game.
Right, right. Because they want Jay Wright on the Sixers regardless of what Doc Rivers is doing.
Doc could win it all, and people will still be like, so Jay, what you doing next season?
Right, right, exactly. But man, what a massive win for the 76ers as they try to make this push to finally get past the second round. Do you feel like you got what you wanted from James Harden, even though he fouled out? Obviously, a defensive liability in some instances, trying to guard a much, you know, bigger, stronger, more athletic player, OG Anunoby, and just having trouble staying in front and things like that. And his defensive lapses definitely are exacerbated when, you know, you're trying to go against that dude and he's hot, he's playing well, and, you know, younger than Harden. Were you bothered by the way he played at all? Did you feel uncomfortable with, you know, his pace or any of that stuff?
I didn't feel uncomfortable. I'm not bothered, but I am a realist, if nothing else. The Sixers, 3 wins. That's what we want at this point. I called a sweep. Harden playing like he is now isn't going to be enough for a deep playoff run, though. 19 Ooh. Points. Yeah, it's not going to be enough. 19 points, 3 of 5 from the line, a even plus minus. I know a lot of people don't value that, but an even plus minus, that's not going to be enough. The Sixers need 20, 25 plus from Harden to make a deep playoff run. As well, they need that from Embiid, who's been providing it for the most part. Before game 3, Maxey averaged 30 points this series because he balled out in game 1. You can't expect Maxey to do that game in and game out, especially as the teams get better, the defense is going to get better. So Harden, former MVP, many, many time all-star, many, many time all-team NBA. I just want him to step it up to the next level because 19 points isn't getting it done. 25 plus.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And I was setting you up with that question because I was trying to get my own little platitude off. But, like, I just want him to be more aggressive. And it doesn't mean, like, just necessarily shooting more. It's just, like, the moments where – there's times where he could go into his step back, but then he whips around like a hard pass to like another player, or, you know, he gets to the rim, but then doesn't have the explosiveness to actually finish and ends up getting his shot blocked or something like that. So, you know, we talked about in previous pods that he just doesn't seem to have this extra gear that many people were hoping he had in the playoffs. But, it, you know, the criticism that some people thought was valid from Kevin Durant about Harden, that he just didn't have the lift and wasn't quite as athletic as he had been in the past. And I, you know, you see that, and I think, not that that's probably an Achilles heel, but it just makes me uncomfortable sometimes because I'm looking at him and I'm like, well, you know, you had the angle or you had the step, but yet you're settling for like a step back pass instead of just like, you know, trying to take it all the way to the rim or, you know, shooting an open 3. So I don't know, bro. I mean, they're 3 games to none. They've won every playoff game they've played, but we're trying to, like, you know, nitpick certain things. But it's just like, you know, you're watching it and hoping them to be like a great, like, well-oiled machine. They're just not quite there. Maybe Harden isn't quite there, but I think like the pieces that are on the floor with Harden, because, you know, everybody can shoot. Everybody's pretty good defensively. I think it just makes it, you know, those little instances, like, they stick out a little bit.
I hear you on that. I don't think it's nitpicking as much as just acknowledging just the lapses or just some of the holes in this team. I'm not someone who's like, oh, this team can't be beat. It's nothing.
Right.
Like, part of life, whether it's sports, whether it's your job, you got to acknowledge your weaknesses. It's not being negative. It's just being honest. And if you want some lovey-dove, feel-good fluff pieces, don't come here for that. Like, just acknowledging what it is. Like, when I said Ben Simmons hadn't worked on his game, people said, oh, I'm a hater of this or that. And a couple of years later, like, we all came to that agreement. Is like, oh no, A couple of those were there a few years earlier. Harden right now, at times, he looks not he's never super explosive, but he had to maybe that first step to get past people. It's not always there. Then when he does get to the rack, he passes it out or he stops to pull up. And it's makes you wonder, does he still have it or did he lose a step like a lot of analysts and people around the league have already come to that conclusion? I hope he hasn't. I hope he is able to take his game to the next level, as it looks like the Sixers will face the Heat. Then whoever they would see after that, if they beat the Heat, whether it's the Bucks, the Celtics, or the Nets, I'm hoping for the best while also seeing and acknowledging what's playing out in front of our eyes.
You mentioned the Nets, bro. Is worth mentioning that according to sources from Adrian Wojnarowski, we could see Simmons as early as game four in that Brooklyn Celtics series, although Steve Nash had responded to that report saying that that was news to him. So take it for what it's worth. But that'll be definitely something for Sixers fans to keep an eye on, another storyline in these playoffs outside of the Sixers trying to win a championship. So we'll definitely keep track of that. Marcus Smart also won a Defensive Player of the Year award and helping the Celtics get that W by wearing a robe with the DPOY on the back. I thought it was pretty smooth. But, man, bro, we're heading here to game four. I want to remind people to come out and see us in person on Saturday. And, I want to make sure before we go, as we're running short on time here, I want to give some props to Tobias Harris. I know that has been a guy that has received a lot of vitriol and criticism from people like Ben, for sure. But, bro, his feet and defensive movements have been great. He's been, not a spectacular game tonight, only 11 points, but just his contributions and the steady as she goes way he's been playing has been, I just really feel like he found something out in his role with the team, with the catch and shoot stuff and whatnot. And now it's really paying dividends for the Sixers because he's dependable and reliable on both ends of the floor.
All right. That's Danny's all nice and fluffy stuff with Tobias Harris. Join me and Danny Saturday noon at Urban Saloon in Fairmount. We'll be there live pod watch party after. Come hang out. I'm already looking at the menu. Chicken and waffles look nice.
Ooh. All right, well, that's all I got. Make that two. Give me a two chicken and waffles, and I'll take a sweet tea with that.
So, Travis.
Much love to everybody out there. We appreciate you listening to Sixers Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wilmington University. WilmU Works. For Ben Berry, I'm Danny Pommels. Shout out our guy, Noah Levitt. Check out his work on NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. We'll see you Saturday. Make sure you come out and have some fun with us.